Welcome to Witchful Thinking, a podcast all about being a witchy woman in the modern world we live in. Each week, you can listen to these two witches banter about witchcraft, spell work, current events, intuitive wellness, spirituality, astrology, tarot, and much more. Our goal here on Witchful Thinking is to create content that informs and centers our listeners and helps them look at the world around them in a much more meaningful, magical way. Thanks so much for tuning in, and be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram for daily updates.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the show.
Hello.
Charge.
Thanks for joining us for episode
118, 119. I think it might be 118. 118.
I think it is 118.
Episode 118. We are super excited today for several reasons. One, Liz has yet another planned trip out here next month, so expect that we will probably take more Vogue photos and flood your feeds with our faces. And two, I have finger puppet possums.
Yeah, that's one of Brooke's coworkers. Sent her finger puppet possums.
Finger puppet possums. And they thrill me. They give me a sense of aliveness that I've never felt before.
And Brooke made a TikTok with them.
Yes. And I made a TikTok with them. Why? Because I'm extra. And honestly, dude, I've been having this issue lately where, like, I'm really having, like, I used to not give a fuck. I used to just be like, I'm going to post whatever the fuck I want to post. But recently I've been like, oh my God, I'm kind of like scared of being perceived a little bit.
Oh,
like, okay. You know me, like, I've always just, if there's like some goofy video or whatever I want to make, yeah, I'll just do it. But then like this week I was like, oh my God, like, that one person follows me and like they're gonna see this and be like, wow, she's not funny, she thinks she's funny, she's stupid. And then I was like, bitch, it's finger possums. I'm gonna have fun if I want to, and no one is gonna tell me otherwise.
Good for you. You know, I think that is one of the biggest like things that maybe we don't think, oh my God, those possums, that we don't think about when it comes to people who are perceived as like really confident and people who just don't give a fuck, is an aspect of people who don't give a fuck, I think, is also making room for feeling insecure about things too. Like, you know, because that shit is real. Like, just because you're a confident person or you don't give a fuck doesn't mean that insecurities don't exist. And that's probably the most confident thing you can do is be like, bitch, I was feeling a little iffy about this, but you know what? I posted it anyway, but I felt a little weird about it, but whatever.
Yeah, I don't like it, but I mean, that's a very good point, is like, feel the fear and do it anyway, you know?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's, I've been trying to accept feeling my feelings, good or bad, and then, you know, putting aside the thoughts and the feelings that I don't like after I feel them, but you gotta feel them first.
Yeah. No suppressing. No suppressing here. So, now that we got that, what?
Okay, so we have a topic for today's episode, which you guys will get a little hint at, of course, in the title, but we have a little bit of like regular bitching to do. First, can we bitch a little bit about the housing crisis in Virginia and just like express our frustrations as millennials who wish they could buy property but can't at the moment, and what it's like looking for an apartment right now, because shit is out of hand. Shit is too fucking expensive. It is a joke what some of these landlords are charging. And Brooke is in the thick of it right now. And there's a little bit of bitching to be had.
There is bitching to be had. I am currently searching for an apartment. Jackson and I are moving in June. And I've been in this apartment 2 years. It's been nice. I signed for this apartment for $100 less than what I'm paying now. Rent went up last year. And, like, my boss made a really good point the other day. Like, when I was like, I don't know. I just kind of feel like this apartment got small all of a sudden. Like, besides the fact that, like, you know, Jackson lives with me, like, I just feel like it just got, like, too much shit in it. And she's like, well, yeah, because if you get a space and you don't have enough stuff, you accumulate enough stuff to fill the space, obviously. But so like this apartment is like 830 square feet, I think 830 to 850, maybe 870. It's not huge. It's a 2-bedroom, 1 bath, like a Jack and Jill type of setup. If you don't know what that is, it's like where the bathroom is in between the bedrooms. And it's comfortable, you know, like if I was living by myself, and rent wasn't going up, maybe I'd consider staying here another year, but I just don't feel like I am getting what I'm paying for. And that is like really frustrating. And so, you know, I've been searching Zillow, apartmentlist.com, apartments.com. There's one other one. Oh, Facebook Marketplace, because sometimes you can find like some hidden gems on there. Just trying to search for either a 1-bedroom that is bigger so I can have like a working area, or a 2-bedroom so that I can have an office space, or even like a 1-bedroom with like a loft area or a den area, something that's like not listed as a bedroom. Yeah. And so many places are just like, okay, yeah, rent for a 400 square foot apartment is going to be $1,700, nothing included, $50 for parking, $300 pet deposit, $40 pet rent. Also, you have to pay $10 a month for trash, water's $30, electricity, bubble, and it just makes me want to scream. I've moved so many fucking times, and I think this has been the most annoying, difficult search. And I like to be like proactive. Like when I signed for this apartment, it was April of 2021 and I didn't move till June 23rd. Like I was early. And so now that it's like April 11th and I haven't found anywhere, like I'm worried because I know prices are just going to keep going up and it's just super frustrating. Yesterday, Virginia like actually declared officially a housing crisis. And like, I actually went and looked at the bill itself. And in order for a state to like declare being in a housing crisis, a bunch of things have to be true. So this bill lists out like at least 80% of Virginia residents are paying more than 30% of their monthly income on housing and blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just a huge list of like, this has to be true. This has to be true. This has to be true. So now we've officially hit that. And obviously, like, it has not been a time, any time in the past year and a half, it hasn't been the best time to buy a house. My original plan was to buy a house this year, but that's not going to happen. And the way that it's looking with, like, trying to rent for another year, it's kind of looking like I'm not going to be able to buy one like in the next 2 years, which really fucking blows me.
Yeah, that's, I'm also in the same boat where, I mean, in 2021, I was looking at getting a condo and I almost, like, I wanted to put a bid on one. And I mean, I got outbid easily, because I was a first time home buyer who, you know, I'm competing with people who were paying $50K over asking price in cash. And it's like, how the fuck can I compete with that? I can't. And I have friends right now that are trying to buy houses, not even expensive ones. Like, it is the millennial crisis. And it's like, it's frustrating because there's obviously nothing we can do about it. And so what, we're allowed to take out these giant student loan payments. We're allowed to take out car payments. We're allowed to do, you know, get these high ass rents, but we can't get a fucking investment piece. We can't get a fucking house. We can't get property. But all these other things are like, oh, well, you know, this is education. This is an investment. Well, you know what? Sometimes it's not. I mean, I am not dissing college by any means. I'm just saying it's a little more expensive than it needs to be. Mm-hmm. And it's also one of the biggest reasons why people our age can't afford a house is because they have student loan payments that are the same price as their mortgage would be. And yeah, they have loan payments. And it's really frustrating. I can't believe some of the prices in Richmond, because normally when I've told you about prices in Denver, like, Denver has always been more expensive than Richmond, and it still is. But like, my apartment is $1,300 a month for 300 square feet. And that is a steal. that is a steal. I'm in downtown. I'm in this gorgeous, like, old Victorian. Granted, it doesn't have air conditioning. It doesn't have amenities. That doesn't include utilities. But the apartment I lived in before that one was a one bedroom in not like the nicest part of town by any means, but it wasn't a bad part of town. And my one bedroom was $1,700 a month, and it was probably 700 square feet. And it's like, how the hell can I, how am I allowed, how come they can be like, yeah, we'll let you rent this for $1,700 a month, but we're not going to give you a home loan that you'd be paying $1,200 a month.
Yeah, it makes no fucking sense.
You know, and
none.
It's super frustrating because it's, I mean, there's a lot of things that are keeping us from making the steps we want to in life. And it's not the fucking avocados and Starbucks.
No.
And I'm really tired of hearing from, and I guess I'm not hearing this directly from anybody that I know, but older people that are just like, oh, well, back in my day, bitch, you could buy a house for an almond and a fucking butterfly. So don't give me shit about
an almond and a butterfly.
I got you a dollar.
I got you an almond and a butterfly.
You know, and I have heard people say, you know, boomers say like, oh, well, you know, we had 15% interest rate. Okay, the house was still $40,000.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, it's not fair, and we're upset about it. And the thing is that we are in a better place than people. Like, we're not doing it right now. And we're not even necessarily like, I think that we're both in a fairly like privileged position to be in yeah, life. And that's not to say that we're privileged because it was handed to us. I mean, whatever. We worked really hard to get to be where we're at, and we still can't do the things that we feel we deserve. We should be able to do at the moment. And I don't know what to do. Like, what, we have to wait for the next housing crash?
Pretty much.
To buy a house? And like, what about all the people? What if you're not ready to buy a house? in the next housing crisis. And why do we have to wait for a crisis?
That's a sad part, is we literally have to prey on other people's downfall when they're trying to sell their shit so that we can even afford to buy it. Like,
it's just
people who are going to be selling their like $500,000 homes for like $200,000, and we're going to be like, yeah, buddy, let me have that.
The thing is that it's not going to be the same as the 2008 housing crash, because we are in the age of the corporate landlord, and it's slightly different. So, you know, in 2008, when a $500,000 house was $200,000, a family of four could be like, oh, we can finally get a house. Well, now when there's a crash and a $500,000 home becomes $200,000, they're just going to get bought up by all these corporate landlords who have money they can pull out of their assets, out of their ass, and buy them. And so it's still different. It's like there are still people who are going to be able to outbid us and pay over the asking price, and it's not fair, and we're mad about it.
Yeah, it sucks. I really hope that I can be like, I can stay on track and put a down payment on a home this time, like before this time next year. The whole process of home buying is so like intimidating to me and scary. And I don't even know what that's going to look like. I just know that like, I don't want to rent anymore. I don't want to keep pouring my money into something that I don't own. Like I'm tired of it. I want to own a home before I'm 30, and I don't feel like that's asking too fucking much. That's not like, I'm not asking, I want to make sure I've traveled to 85 different countries before I'm 30. That'd be cool, whatever. But like, I just want to own a fucking home.
Yeah. And so all this to say, for anybody who's feeling behind or like you should own a home by now or whatever, we're in the same boat, and there is no timeline of things. It is okay if you buy your first house at 40, you know, whatever the case is. And if you bought your first home in your 20s, mad fucking props to you. Yeah. That's awesome. But, you know, just because we are dealing with an economy that was shittily just handed to us, shit on a plate and handed to us.
Yeah.
That is out of our control, and it doesn't make us behind. It doesn't make us bad adults. It doesn't make us, you know, this is something we're all experiencing together. And there is no timeline of things. So hopefully you can try to not let this something make you feel behind, because I feel like that all the time. I feel behind. Like, oh my God, everybody else is just ahead of me. No, they're not. And where you think somebody else is ahead of you, they're behind in other things. There is just no timeline. This timeline doesn't exist of do this and then this and then this by this age and this age and this age. It doesn't exist. And we just know that we will get to own a property one day. Mm-hmm. It will happen. It is in the cards for us. We just have to wait for the right time, and we have to deal with the circumstances we've been handed, but you're not behind.
And first I got to find a place to rent. Oh my God. I'm tired of like looking every day at Zillow and shit and just seeing the same fucking units that I don't want anything to do with popping up. It's like, ooh, yeah, here's a really nice renovated gorgeous luxury apartment for $2,083. What a steal. No, awesome. Utilities included, but you get a dog park. Like, ugh, go away.
The utilities
amenities?
No, the luxury apartments that I have lived in, the ones that like put luxury on the sign, were the worst fucking apartments I've ever lived in. Just so you know, guys, anybody can print anything on a sign. Okay. Mm-hmm. I can start a business and call it Luxury Real Estate by Liz. And because I can put anything on a fucking sign, and so can an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
So just beware when an apartment says luxury, go in and look at those. Don't just rent without looking at those, because like actually use the stuff. Like go in, open and close the drawers in the kitchen. Okay. Open the washing machine, flush the toilet, turn on the shower. Because
look at that water pressure.
Yeah, because the luxury apartments that I lived in, one in particular that I'm thinking of, looked good until you touched anything. literally looked fine. And the second you touched anything, it broke. but you know what? They were like, but we have a dog park, just like you said.
Yeah, but we have a dog park. We have a clubhouse. I pay rent. I don't want to sit in your clubhouse. I want to sit in my unit, bitch. I want to sit in my unit.
Like, isn't that part of the, like, the marketing towards millennials? It's almost like, you know, companies that are like, oh, we'll give you a pizza party. I want a bonus. I want a cash bonus, not a pizza party.
I want a raise. I don't want a pizza party.
And when it comes to apartments, they're like, we got a dog park. I want a nice unit. I don't give a fuck about your clubhouse.
No, like, when I say that I want a place with amenities, I mean, I want a place with a pool and parking. That's it. Like, I don't care about your computer room. I don't care about your Who uses a fire? I mean, fire pits are cute, whatever, but like, half the time you go somewhere that has a fire pit and it doesn't work.
Oh, or I lived at an apartment that had a jacuzzi, and I lived there for 3 years, and I could probably count on one hand how many days I saw that jacuzzi working. It was always out of service.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll get you too. The apartment I'm in now, someone stole the front door buzzer. They're the, you know, the thing to buzz you in.
What's the point? Like, for what?
I don't know. And it was, they didn't replace it for 4 months. And I was so pissed off because Amazon wouldn't deliver my packages. I have medication that comes in the mail that didn't get delivered. And I was like, hey, bruh, you're really inconveniencing me. And I asked my apartment complex for like $100 off my rent to cover like Uber. Cause I had to like take a Uber to go pick things up at a different location because I don't have a car. And also the inconveniencing of my time and all this shit. I asked for like maybe it wasn't even $100. I asked for a small percentage off of my rent that month just for an inconvenience. And they're like, nah, no. So guess what? You're going to pay for shit. And if it's broken, you're still going to pay for shit.
Y'all are nuts.
And yeah, I just, you know, the place I live at is owned by corporate overlords, and I love my apartment, hate dealing with the people who, manage it. They're managing 500 properties around town. They don't take the time or give a fuck about emailing me. There'll be times that I have to email these people 3-4 times before I get a response. Nobody ever answers the phone. It's just a bitch.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm paying you how much?
And now a lot of places are like, have not only do bots respond to you, but they're like really advanced bots. Like, I was contacting an apartment the other day asking questions about like, are utilities included? Okay, do you have any 2-bedroom, 1-bath opening in June? And I would get back everything but what I asked. So I knew I wasn't talking to a human, because it was like, no, utilities are not included. Water and something else are provided by their separate bill, but like still paid to the leasing office, whatever. And then it also was like, we have a unit open now and one in May. And I was like, okay, but June. And they're like, one in May. I'm like, okay, you're not real because that's not what I'm asking.
Yeah. That's the future of AI. I actually met a new friend on the train the other day. I don't normally meet friends. I actually was just done complaining to Brooke about a man on my train ride home today who started acting irrationally angry because he tried to speak to me and I wouldn't give him the time of day. And he was mad about it. Like the little fucking bitch he was. But I met a guy on the train the other day who he had just moved here from India and he just wanted help, like making sure he could, you know, he was going to get off at the right stop because his car is being shipped here and it wasn't going to get here for a month or something. And so I told him like how the train worked and we rode the train together and his office was near mine. So we got off at the same stop and I was like, you can get off at the same stop with me and I'll show you where to go. And he was super nice. He works in IT and he was telling me about the advancements that are coming with AI and how crazy different things are going to be even in the next 5 years. His eyes were so big talking about it. He was like, you have no idea what's coming. All the like in the next 5 years, everything's going to be operating so differently. And he asked me what I did. And he was like, oh, you're in digital marketing. He was like, you should look up these three softwares because it'll keep you ahead of the game and all of this stuff. And it's like AI related. And he was just trying to tell me all of this knowledge about AI on our little like 28 minute train ride.
Yo, did you get his number?
No, but his name is Sanjun, and I'm probably going to bump into him for the next month.
Well, you need to find out what those softwares are, man.
Oh, I did. I did. I took screenshots.
Oh, yeah. Send them to me. What the hell?
I will.
Spread the wealth.
Spread the wealth. So, that's just the future is AI and bots, and they're only going to get better. It took a while it kind of took a minute for you to be like, oh, I don't know if this is a person, but that shit is going to be indistinguishable in 5 years.
It's going to be crazy when like you can joke around, like be like, oh, ha, ha. Like, you know, when you'll talk to like a leasing agent and be like, what door do I go to? Ha ha, I'm directionally impaired or something, like emailing back and forth, you know, before your tour or something. And like the bot's going to be like, ha, ha, I get turned around all the time. And I'm like, oh my God, like imagine that. That's creepy. My God.
Yeah, no, it's coming. It's coming, man.
I play with AI for work all the time. And today I was kind of just like fucking around. And I made a rap between Beyonce and Eminem. I asked AI to generate me a rap battle between them.
That is so nuts. Funny.
It was so funny.
Did you use ChatGPT?
No, it was just this random thing. It's called boredhumans.com. I don't even know how I found the website, but it had like 100 different AI generators and it was nuts. And I was just like, oh my God, this is going to be fun. And it was fun. I almost considered.
I found this
one. Oh my God. Shut up, Siri.
Siri.
Talking about bots. I almost read it on TikTok because I thought it'd be funny, but then I got in my head and I was like, nobody will think it's as funny as I think it is.
And can you imagine being in college right now and like ChatGPT could write you a whole paper, but there are already technologies for professors to use. So, you know, when we were in college, they had like a program that they could put our paper in and it would check for plagiarism. Mm-hmm. And it would like tell the professor the percentage of plagiarism. Well, now they are plugging your paper into a program that tells you what percentage of it was made by ChatGPT. So anybody who's listening to this, who's in college and ChatGPT is still new, professors do have a way to already check to see if your paper was written by ChatGPT.
I'm looking that up.
She is nuts.
Can your professor see if you use ChatGPT?
They can't.
Oh, It said, all it really says is that if you're using it for something that everybody in the class has, like there's an answer key, like a short answer key type of thing, if like multiple people used it, that's how a professor would tell, because everybody's answers would be the same. But I don't think that they, not encouraging anyone to do this, but I don't think that they could run your paper like a web document through and be like, this was written by ChatGPT.
It's coming. But it'll be really interesting. In 5 years, we're going to look back on this episode and be like, silly little babies. Dude, they don't know how to work with robots yet.
This website said that ChatGPT is doing more harm than good. I don't know. How do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, I would need examples. I would need...
Let me see the stats.
I need the proof. What is they talking about?
Oh, it says, so a teacher on Reddit said, how can I tell when my students use ChatGPT or other AI writers? And someone answered and said, if someone spends a small amount of time playing with ChatGPT, you will not be able to tell that they're using it. Using the playground AI, I've thrown in links to sources and come up with a thesis and asked it to write an essay. It's not bad. Assessment as we know it is over. You can't trust anything that students do at home. ChatGPT-4 is coming and it's going to be even more amazing. My God.
What that tells me is it's time for us to evolve on the education side of things, because higher education, college, is supposed to be preparing us for the workplace. And if in the workplace you get to use ChatGPT to write website copy, why is it that you have to, I mean, not saying that I am like totally disregarding people who have like handwritten their theses, whatever the word is, and not undermining like the human brain doing these things, but we're evolving and we should evolve with the technology, and so should our education. So maybe the assignments that used to be giant essays, page long essay, 12, 20 pages of essays, needs to be something different, because in your career out in the world, you're not going to ever need to do that because of AI, right? Like, why are we trying to, what is the saying? Beat the dead horse.
Beat a dead horse. Yeah. There you go.
Hey, I got one. I think that's just a sign that we need to evolve our education system and how we're teaching kids. We don't need to teach kids, adults also, college people are adults. We don't need to teach human beings the same way we taught, you know, Gen Z is the same way we taught boomers. We should be evolving. And if essays can be written like that, you know, maybe we got to do something else. Instead of just trying to fight it, work with it and evolve. Like, come on, man.
Evolve.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe that's a hot take, but instead of trying to force people to do this thing the same way for 100 years, maybe we should fucking work with the shit that they're going to be using out in the workplace, right?
Yeah. Like, I'm not going to be the person that's like, don't use it, you're ruining your learning opportunities. But like, I think in college, maybe tone it back a little bit. You are paying out of the ass to go to college, so maybe learn something and not just use GPT. But like, ChatGPT helps a lot for like creative jobs. Like, it can write code for you. It can, you know. I had it write an outline for us for an episode of something that's like really in depth that honestly we'd love to talk about, but like I don't feel like writing that outline out myself. I'm not gonna lie. I don't feel like doing that.
Yeah, not to say that, like, you know, in higher education that people should just use AI and not use their own brains at all. But there's just got to be a way to integrate it and make some kind of hybrid learning program that involves AI, because there's no way people are not going to be not using it from here on out. So
how the hell did we end up on AI?
I don't know. We were talking about robots.
Oh yeah, the housing, the leasing agent bot.
Yes, the leasing agent bot. So I don't know. We'll see what happens in the next couple of years. But we do actually have a topic for today.
We do have a real topic, and the topic is going to be about the witchy things and witchy practices and witchy funsy things that we have picked up, been interested in, practiced for a little bit, and then put back down. Because every witch at some point in time has purchased a fuck ton of books or tools or spell supplies that is just collecting dust.
Yep. It happens to the best of us.
I have 7 tarot decks. I have 12 oracle decks. I just now unwrapped a palm reading deck that I think I meant to give Liz for Christmas last year and forgot. I have never looked at it. I don't know why I have so many of these. And I am still drawn to buying more when I go to the store. I don't do it. I really don't. But I'm going to look.
Well, you know, when it comes to this kind of stuff, like, I mean, witchcraft is also a hobby. Like, first, you know, sometimes witchcraft is integrated with a religious belief. Sometimes it's not. But, like, a lot of these things are, they can be hobby-like. And so, you know, how many of us have wanted to start a new hobby, especially fucking in COVID? How many hobbies did a lot of us pick up? We bought the entire kit, or we bought everything we needed and we don't touch it anymore and you feel guilty about it. Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, obviously, at some point, you got to be like, okay, maybe I have a problem. But this shit happens. You know, this shit happens. You think you want to get into something and you try it. And you're like, maybe I'm not going to end up using that much. Or maybe you do use something a lot for a while and then put it down and kind of forget about it. Like, I was telling Brooke that I don't really do tarot spreads anymore. And that's just because I got busy. Like, it's not even because I don't like doing them anymore. And it reminded me, I was like, you know what? I want to do like single card pulls again, just like, you know, before the start of my day or something. And it's something that I've got, I don't know. I probably have like, I think I have 3 tarot decks and 4 oracle decks. And they're mostly just fucking pretty. I like the artwork. Mm-hmm. But I don't do them at all anymore, just at the moment, because I've just gotten so fucking busy. But for me, oh my God, the witchy books got a little out of hand. I did stop myself at one point because I started pinning through them and I was like, okay, a lot of these are kind of the same. I would say, though, my favorite book, my favorite witchy book to this day is still Bohemian Magic by Veronica Varlo.
She was on our podcast.
Scroll back and search Veronica Varlo. That was one of my favorite episodes. It was just so much fun. She was like one of our first guests that we didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And her book is my favorite because we got to hear the backstory behind creating it and knowing that like everything that was put in there was just so thoughtful. And that one's still my favorite, but Yeah, I have so many witchy books, and they all start kind of having the same stuff in them.
Yeah, after a while, you start to realize that all of them have like a chakra chart. All of them got like a spell candle and what the different colors mean. And all of them have like all the different types of herbs you can burn. Some of the newer ones have a background on like not using white sage. Like it's just what gets you is the covers and the,
Oh,
a good matte cover, it's gonna get me.
yeah,
Like,
and the artwork, and I will buy a pretty book because the cover is pretty, or because the illustrations are gorgeous, or because it fucking smells good. All right.
yeah.
Sometimes the smell gets me, and they look great on a coffee table, they look great on a shelf. So I don't regret any of those purchases. But I have stopped. I haven't bought any more in a while.
I'm taking my laptop over to my witchy shelf, and I'm actually gonna like list out some things that I don't use anymore because Lord knows I have a fuck ton. Okay, so we're over here at my bookshelf. I have several jars of herbs that I have had for like probably 3 years, never used them for anything. Now they're just pretty. I have baby jars that had jam in them, kept them. Shout out to Shaylee. I know that Shaylee does this because she messaged me and said so when I had posted a TikTok on our page that was like, a witch, all witches like save little fucking jars they don't need. God, what the fuck else do we got over here? There is spell work for self-care. There's Wicca practical magic because actually, before I studied witchcraft, I studied Wicca and I identified as a Wiccan. But then I don't know at what point that I stopped identifying. I don't know. Chakras and self-care, 1001 spells. I think I've done one out of those 1001 spells. That book was on sale and I was like, fuck yeah, there's a spell in here for anything. Moon magic, secrets of modern witchcraft revealed, missing witches. Actually, that reminds me, the authors of that show, I mean of that book, requested to be on the show and I meant to reschedule with them and I never did. So if you guys are listening, what are their names? Risa and Amy, I will get back to you. I'm so sorry. That book I want to read because this is about recovering histories of feminist magic. So that's actually like, if I, that's not something that it's got information in it that I already have on my bookshelf, but like the books about healing energy with crystals and like all of the oracle decks that you mainly just buy because they're pretty and they make you feel some type of way. Like, I've just got so fucking many of those. And I don't know. At some point, when you don't use them, I think this is where a lot of people will send us messages and they're like, I haven't practiced in so long. Like, I feel like an imposter, blah, blah, blah. I think this is for me, that's where it comes from, is seeing all of the items, the literature and the tools and shit that you own, and knowing that you are not actively making a decision to practice every single day can sometimes make you feel like, oh my God, like I just have this shit for the aesthetic. Am I fake?
Yeah.
Like, and that's not true at all. If you're dedicated to it in your heart and like you know that you identify, even if you don't have like the time or the energy to light a candle or whatever you enjoy doing. It just, I don't know, man. That's why I tend to stay out of like metaphysical shops because I know I'm gonna buy a lot of stuff that I don't read or use.
Yeah. I think I it this is just me. There are totally people who get into witchcraft, buy all the things that they want, use them, and continue to use them. But for me, I felt like a lot of those things assisted me when it was new to me. And I was just a sponge. I was just absorbing every bit of information that I could get. And I even carried that self-care. What was it? Witchcraft for Self-Care?
Mm-hmm.
I carried that book in my purse for probably like a year because I loved it so much. And now, like, I have some of that shit memorized. I don't need to carry around the book. So a lot of it is stuff I know, and I don't need to carry the book around because I know what's in it. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of these things that we bought were when we were new to the witchcraft scene, and we were just trying to educate ourselves as much as we possibly could. Not to say that that doesn't mean that we know everything. That's not what I'm saying. And that doesn't mean that you can be a seasoned witch, been one for a long time, and you could still use all of these things that you got when you were a new witch. But these are all things we got when we were baby witches. And so, you know what, it kind of makes sense that we're not as pertinent. Is that the right word? No, we're not keen on using these things so much as we did in the beginning, because it's not new information to us anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with them sitting on your bookshelf and looking cute and pretty. Same thing with crystals. I have so many cute crystals, and I know that if I go into a crystal shop, I will still buy them because I love them and they're cute. I don't carry them around as much. I used to carry like palm stones in my pockets, and I would kind of like rub them when I had anxiety or whatever. And now I take antidepressants.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't get as anxious anymore, and I don't carry around a palm stone. And now they just look cute. They look pretty, and that's totally fine. I do still carry some. I definitely have, a citrine on my like jewelry dish that I, you know, just because I want all of my, when I take off all of my rings and my necklaces at the end of the day, I want them to charge with like something that means abundance, because that's my word for the year. Which, by the way, Brooke and I both use our gifts from the listener. Do you remember her app? Because
I think it was Feminine Flames.
Feminine Flames, yeah. She has a Etsy shop, and she handmade us these beautiful pieces last year, and they're incense holders, but Brooke and I both use them to put our jewelry on, and they're stunning. They're beautiful. And I have a little citrine sitting on the dish with all of my jewels. And you know what? That's what I do now with my crystals. I'm not carrying them around on my person as much. They're mostly just around my home. So you know what? The way that you use things can change, and that's totally fine. And we all have hobbies that we buy shit for and then end up not using. It's okay. We are all doing it.
Yeah. And you can always pick shit back up. I mean, geez, literally just walking back over to the couch after talking about all the things, all the books over there that like I don't bother with anymore. I just picked one up and brought it over here to like flip through and refresh my knowledge. Like, I don't know, maybe tonight I'll pull an oracle card or something. I used to do that every single night, like multiple readings. And now I'm just tired. I'm tired. And this is, I'm glad that we're like talking about this too, because I feel like it really goes hand in hand with like how the podcast is changing. But also at the same time, there's still so much that I know we haven't talked about that people have asked for us to do episodes on. And I want to do that. Like, I think someone requested the other day, like, can we do an episode about like how to interpret your dreams during like the full moon? Like really niche ass stuff like that. Like, I like that. We're not the podcast for like how to use a spell. Oh, what the heck? Where did I go?
Where did you go?
Oh my god. My phone like started trying to be my camera. I don't know, the Mac update is weird. Anyways, I'm back. But like we're not like the type of witchy podcast that educates on every single thing you can use a pink candle for, you know? Like there's podcasts out there like that, which are super helpful, especially for beginner witches. But like, I just think that for that, for us, it's like not really something that engages our brains too much, because it's like, to us, it's knowledge that we already know and we aren't really learning too much. I feel like you and I both tend to enjoy talking about stuff on the podcast where we're also learning something from it.
Yeah. And also, you know, I mean, anybody who's been listening to the podcast for a while, I mean, we've posted like episodes like spells for lazy witches and shit like that, because it's not, we have things integrated into our lives, but it's not like being a witch is part of our identity, but it's not our entire identity. It's something that we integrate into our lives, just like fitness, just like you integrate, you know, I don't know, watching, you're like, I want to watch at least one episode of this Netflix show every night because I love it. Like, it's just, it doesn't take up our entire world. It's just something that is integrated, and it becomes, what am I looking for? It becomes just like a way of thinking, and it's like helped at least me. It's helped me with confidence and anxiety and feeling like I have control over my life, and I've learned a lot of things about myself. Like, it's a form of feminism. And I'm sure there are tons of, there's probably other podcasts that are similar. And then there's podcasts that are strictly like they just talk about witchcraft. And we need those. But I think that's why our podcast has such a wide range of topics, is because our lives have a wide range of things that happen. And it's not all centered around witchcraft. Witchcraft is just embodied in the things that are centered, right?
Exactly. And I think that aligns very well with literally the freaking name of the show is witchful thinking. Like how you said, like it is a way of thinking for us. It doesn't take up all of our time. It doesn't take all of our energy. It's not something that we have to consciously go out of our way to put into our everyday routines. Like there's so many things. There are a lot of witchy practices and things that I have really tried to like on purpose integrate into every day. Like for a long time, every morning, like I pulled an oracle card, but it was like, what the heck are they called? It starts with an A. And it's like archetype. They were archetype cards, and it was a huge deck, and it was like whatever card you pulled, you were supposed to like try and embody that energy that day, and understand like both the positive and negative sides of it. And I did that for about 3 months straight, and then I don't know what happened. I just fell off with it. And then there's other shit, like I tried to use a pendulum every day for something or other, simply because I thought it'd be cool. That lasted a whole 2 days because my hands were shaky.
I love a pendulum, and I still use a pendulum to find lost things. That shit works for me, dude. I find fucking lost shit with that, and I still use it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just it. Shit like that is neat, but I mean, and if you can
get yourself to do multiple things a day that are related to your craft. Like, good for you, more power to you. I wish I was more like you. But I think, to be quite honest, on a daily basis, the three most witchy things that I do, one, I spray money, like I call it my money spray. I spray abundance spray in every room of my house. I do that normally 3 times a week. Whenever I see it, I'll just like spray it. I fully believe in that shit. I really do. I feel like ever since I got it, money has just like flowed to me and it smells fucking amazing. Another thing is every time I light a candle, even if it's like not a spell candle, it can just be like a scented candle, I always try to like think of something that I want, and then like while I'm lighting it and like waiting for the flame to like catch onto the wick, I hold on to it, and then the second that the flame like grabs onto the wick and the candle is lit, I just like let it go, and it's kind of like a reverse birthday candle, you know?
Like that.
And then showering, I shower every day because I want to be fresh and clean, and every time that I'm in the shower, I always consider it a cleansing ritual. Like, I just feel like I'm scrubbing everything physical and emotional and mental just like off of my body, and it makes me feel so much better, and I'm good with that. Like, if those are three things that I want to do that remind me of like who I am and what makes me feel grounded and centered, that's not your typical witchcraft. And some people would even go so far as to say, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. That's fine. Whatever. It makes me feel good. And yeah. To me, in a lot of sense, witchcraft can be anything that you do out of the norm to make yourself feel better or to make things feel like they align better for you.
Yeah.
And that is part of the reason witchcraft is so popular, I feel, in our generation and in Gen Z, especially the past like decade or so, is just because it has given people the feeling of being in control in a world where we feel so fucking powerless, from Trump being elected to like the pandemic and then all of the shit in between, all of the big events and the small ones, the, you know, shit with like right now, the whole thing Biden like posted about on his freaking Instagram about like how he was gonna do everything he could to get Roe v. Wade like reinstated, and everyone's in like an uproar about that because it's as if it wasn't already hard for people in many states to get an abortion, now it's about to be even fucking harder. Like, just shit like that that marks this generation as like, if we don't do something to make change, like we're gonna be repeating history. I find a lot of comfort and I guess like stability in knowing I've got like that arsenal of knowledge in my back pocket. Not saying like, you know, remember when Lana Del Rey was like, we're gonna hex the president tonight at 7 a.m. Eastern. Like, that's different, but like kind of makes me feel like I've got some fucking control.
Yeah. The things that I use now at this point in time in my witchcraft journey is mostly all energy work and visualization. And I have completely changed my life in the past year. I have done so many 180s in the past couple of years, but especially the decisions that I have made and the actions that I have taken, and the way that I view my life, the way that I have used visualization to imagine the life I want and then creating it, that I feel like I've never been like more powerful. Like I have done like almost everything I have visualized thus far. And I not only just, you know, it's not just visualizing it, imagining it, and then it comes true. That's obviously not how it works. But I changed the way that I thought. I like rewired my brain this last year. I changed my thought, my perception on happiness. I changed my perception on career and gratitude and satisfaction and money and finances, investing like in my body, in my health. I have changed everything when it comes down to how I think and then what I do to take action of those thoughts to create the world and the life that I want. And I've never been happier in my entire life. And most of that is because I rewired my brain and I use visualization, because how do I know where I'm going if I don't have a fucking roadmap? So I made a fucking roadmap. and all of that are things, those are things that are in my control. I can visualize how I want my life to be. I can take the steps that I want to take. I have the power to control how I think about certain circumstances and when I see opportunities and all of that shit. That is what, that made me feel in control. And because I felt in control, like I kind of was. I was in control. I am in control. And I have a clear path of where I'm going, where I'm at on that path. And like, it makes me feel unstoppable. It makes me feel like anything I want, I can have.
Yeah. And it's a really nice feeling to feel like you're not sitting around and waiting. You're literally reaching out and taking what you want.
Yeah.
And I think it takes people, it takes a lot of people most of their adult life to figure out how to, the importance of that. And I feel really special that like at our ages, we already understand the importance of that, or maybe we don't fully understand it, but we grasp like 90% of the concept and we've got like this whole just toolkit of like knowledge, like law of attraction and manifestation. And I'm going to get this crystal because it has like this prop, these properties, and I'm going to read up on like the stories of all of these fucking famous women and like famous feminist figures in history, because it makes me feel like I'm channeling like the energy of powerful ancestors, whatever, like shit like that. It's not even so much like understanding all the uses for an herb or understanding how to use like work with a deity. Like that stuff is great, and I want to make content on that like for sure this year. But I don't know, sometimes I think it's more of a feeling. It's more of a feeling than a doing thing.
Yeah. I mean, even 2 years ago, I was using manifestation, law of attraction, visualization to the best of my ability. And, you know, I was still in that place where I was like, man, like, I know what I want. I just don't know how to get it. That's when I like was starting to visualize, but like, I was like, I still don't know how to get it. Like I can see it, but I don't know how to get it. And I think part of like some of these things that we're talking about, you know, like crystals, I've talked about this on the podcast before. I wear a lot of rings. I guess not a ton. I have 4 rings, but I wear 2 rings on each hand. That all 4 of them mean a lot to me. I think they're beautiful. I wear them every day. And 2 of them are stones. One of them is a moonstone. One of them is an onyx. And when I got my moonstone ring, it was, you know, it was almost like something that I wanted to protect my energy. I wanted to feel like when I was wearing it and I would look at it, like I could imagine a it's a rainbow moonstone. So when the sunlight touches it, it has a rainbow cast. And I wanted to kind of imagine like that kind of rainbow bubble could be around me if I needed it or whatever. Right. And, or, you know, that I could just have this confidence and this aura about me. And, you know, also the part of this is like faking it till you make it, which is like the most cringy thing to say now, but it, you know, there's so much truth to that. And so if putting on a ring originally just helped me to feel a little bit more confident, well, that confidence has gotten me so far. That confidence has gotten me opportunities. And I started saying yes to things that I would never say yes to, and just trusting the universe that, like, okay, this was brought to me, so I should say yes to it and see where it goes. It's almost like that saying, I remember being in church growing up, and there's like the story of, this isn't a parable or anything, this is just like a little funny joke that a pastor would tell in church. And he'd be like, you know, this guy dies and he goes to heaven and he's like, Jesus, why didn't you save me? I was drowning in the middle of the ocean. And he goes, well, I sent, you know, I'm butchering this story. I sent 3 boats to save you. And he passed up every single boat because he was like, no, Jesus will save me. And Jesus was like, I sent you those 3 boats, you idiot. Like, and so it's like, you know, I kind of think of that as, you know, no longer Jesus, but the universe sending opportunities my way. And instead of being so wrapped up in, I'm waiting for the opportunity, I'm waiting for these things, I'm waiting, I just started saying yes to things, and yeah, things started fucking happening. And they weren't always big things. They were small things too. And that was me accepting opportunities and abundance from the universe, because I wasn't focused on like, I'm looking for this one special thing or whatever. I just started saying yes to things. Mm-hmm. And shit started flowing, shit started aligning, and all I did was say yes. That's it, that's all I had to do. That's it, I just had to take it.
Yeah, I fully agree. Like, it's, hold on, my brain is like really wrapped around the fact that you just told a story about Jesus.
Listen, I spent the first 17 years of my life religious, okay? That shit is,
look, indoctrinated. It sticks. It makes sense.
It sticks, man.
It really stuck with me, but fuck, what was I gonna say? Now I can't even remember. I don't remember. Sorry if you can hear the toilet flushing in the background. I'm not on the toilet. It's not me.
It's not me.
It's really not me. People are going to listen to this and be like, she's lying.
I didn't hear it. I can vouch for Brooke. I'm looking at her right now. She's not on the toilet.
I'm not on it.
But yeah, so that's, I don't know. It's just the way that we use witchcraft is different now. And that's totally fine because we evolve as people. And I'm sure it will evolve over the next couple years as we keep using the tools that we have from witchcraft and we create the things we want to create. So of course we're going to adapt, and I'm sure you guys have too. And it's okay to also just take breaks from things. Like, it doesn't have to be this big evolving, adapting thing. Like, you can also just take breaks from things. Like, it's, you know, probably a good motive. What is the word? Saying for life?
Motto.
That's it. It, a good motto for life is, it's just not that fucking serious. Okay.
Like, it's not.
It's not that fucking serious.
It's not that serious. It truly ain't.
It really nothing is.
No.
It's not that fucking serious. And that is a great way to approach a lot of things. It's just not that fucking serious. That is what has helped me a lot with anxiety, is just remembering like things, you know, when I start going down, I took a break from my antidepressants for a little bit, because I wanted to see, you know, I'm happy now. I don't feel depressed. I want to see what I was like off of them. And I didn't feel depression coming off of them, but I did feel like signs of anxiety. I would start like thinking about every conversation I had that day and every little word I was saying and analyzing it and be like, oh, you're stupid. Why did you say that? That's so embarrassing. Nah, 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 nah. All, you know, nitpicking. And needless to say, I got back on the antidepressants because I don't like those thoughts. But when I was waiting for that stuff to kick back in, I had to remind myself, it's not that fucking serious, okay? These things that you're worrying about and obsessing about, they're not that fucking serious. And I had to think the thought, feel the thought, put the thought aside. And that is not easy to do, to put it aside and leave it aside. But I was like, I'm not letting these little shitty thoughts ruin my fucking day. It's my day, my fucking day. So you can sit the fuck down. It's not that serious.
Where did this come from? What are we talking about?
I don't know. We're talking, well, that, you know what? Is that the title of the episode? It's not that fucking serious. It's not serious.
No, okay. I was actually going to name the episode Witch Archives. Because it's all the things we've archived, all the things we don't do as witches anymore.
Okay, Witch Archives. So when it comes to the Witch Archives, it's just not that fucking serious. You can pick shit back up. You can put it down. You can heavily use it. You can just lightly sprinkle it in. It's not that serious.
And nobody's going to come after you and tell you that you're doing it wrong because it's nobody's business but yours.
Right.
But if you got this far in the episode, peep, you're not going in the bathroom. Chill out. Oh, cats. If you got what? This far in the episode, go to the brand new, beautiful, wonderful episode post on Instagram and comment a house emoji. You can comment any of the house emojis. You can comment the one that looks like a crack house if you want. That literally looks like a trap hizzy.
Do it.
I think I said crack house and I meant trap house is what I meant. So trap house. But yeah, so there's that. And we're doing good. 3 consecutive weeks of posting on Wednesdays. We hope that you guys enjoyed this episode and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.